Attention this morning to Proverbs chapter 8. We'll read the first six verses of Proverbs chapter 8, where the word of the Lord reads, "Doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? She standeth in the top of high places, by the way in the places of the paths. She crieth at the gates, at the entry of the city, at the coming in, at the doors. Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man. O ye simple, understand wisdom, and ye fools, be of an understanding heart. Hear, for I will speak of excellent things, and the opening of my lips shall be right things." If I were to put a title on my thoughts this morning, it would be "The Things That Are Required in Order to Have Wisdom." The things that are required in order to have wisdom. And one of the ways that chapter 8 makes that particular subject and title unique is that it ties wisdom with the Lord. Ties them together. In other words, it teaches us not only ways to have wisdom, but in those ways of having wisdom, it teaches us how to walk with the Lord. It ties both of those together. It makes sure that we understand that those are not two distinct and separate items, but instead two things that work together in order to walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, what is required in order to have wisdom, and what is required, therefore, in order to walk with the Lord? And those are one and then the same. And you say, how, Brother Will, do you think that having wisdom is walking with the Lord? Look in just the language in the verses that I've just read to you already. The Scripture tells us that wisdom cries. It says, doth not wisdom cry, and understanding put forth her voice? Can the word itself, wisdom, can wisdom just cry? Or can understanding just put forth her voice? Or does it need a person in order to be able to portray that? What is the person? How do we know that this is speaking in another person as opposed to just wisdom itself crying? The next verse compares that wisdom to she standing in the high places. By the way of the places of the past, she crieth at the gates. The next verse says, unto men I call. Not only she's the voice, but also it listed in first person is I unto you, unto you, O men, I call. And so it mentions not only is she is the person that's crying to wisdom, it listed in first person is therefore meaning that the Lord is the one who is calling these things. You know, the Scripture is the best dictionary and interpreter of itself. There's not a commentary that exists, and it's not that I don't refer to commentaries at times to be able to gather a deeper understanding sometimes of what the verse is meaning. Certainly, a lot of times whenever you're reading through the Old Testament law portions of Scripture, you can go to some valuable sources that know a whole lot about the history of Israel, a whole lot more than I know about it. I can tell you that. You know, one of the best things I can do for you, if you come and you ask Brother Will sometimes about the history of Israel, is that one of the best answers at times that Brother Will can give you is refer you to somebody that knows a whole lot about the history of Israel, and not just me myself. You know, sometimes men will take on a little bit too much in trying to answer for things that they don't really know about. But none of those other sources, me or anybody else, is a better interpreter of the Scriptures than the Scriptures themselves. And here it's plainly showing us that this chapter, and not only this chapter, but the whole book of Proverbs, what an excellent book for a young person to learn. And I mean, read it all the time. If you're a young person today, I take advantage of every day. And you don't have to be a young person to capitalize on this. There's 31 chapters in this book. And a lot of our months have 31 days in it. Every calendar day that rolls around, read the chapter of Proverbs that is associated with the day. And it'll be a great profit to you. It'll do you a lot of good to understand the wisdom that is contained in this book. You know, the whole book itself, back in Proverbs chapter 1, teaches us that the theme of this book is so that we can have wisdom, and that we can receive the instruction of wisdom and to know wisdom. God's desire is for us to have wisdom of His ways, because in wisdom of His ways is a walk with Him. And that's exactly what this chapter is teaching us. He's laying out the things that are required in order to have wisdom. And He's saying that I am that wisdom. Jesus is saying, I am that wisdom. Not Brother Will, but I am that wisdom. You know, if we think of some accounts that are contained in the Scriptures of where the people of God that were wise spoke and were great witnesses of Jesus' presence in their lives. You know, one of the best places to go is over to Acts chapter 4. Hold your place in Proverbs chapter 8 and turn with me over to Acts chapter 4 just a second. I want to catch one verse in case there's still doubt in your mind that there's a way to tie wisdom in a walk with the Lord. We'll look here at what the observation was between the men that heard Peter speak and Peter and John. You know, the Scripture teaches us that in the context of Acts chapter 4, that Peter and John had had been imprisoned because they had in the eyes of the people, had told the man that was lame of his feet, that was seated at the gate, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to arise. Of course, they told him to, and they spoke that in the gold and silver have I none, but such as I have I give unto thee. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, arise and walk, is what they told that man. And because they did it upon the Sabbath day and it preached in the name of the Lord Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, they were cast into prison. And people observed these men that whenever they were let out of prison, that they again began to preach the same things that they were cast into prison for preaching. If you look down in verse 13 of Acts chapter 4, what you see is the observation of those that heard them preach. And he said that when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, did Peter and John teach English and calculus and biology unto these men that they marveled that they had been with Jesus, and that they were so smart in worldly things that they had for sure been with Jesus because they were just so knowledgeable in all the subjects? No, that's not what they observed. They observed the boldness in which these men spake of spiritual wisdom. Whenever you go up in the verses before the one that I just showed you, what you see is that they preached the gospel unto these men. And that whenever these people saw and observed the boldness that these men proclaimed about Jesus Christ and what He had done for His children, that they marveled because they perceived them to be ignorant and unlearned men, and said that by their words that they had spoke, that they had spent some time with Jesus. And I tell you, child of God, the same thing exists and the same opportunity for you and I today, that if we boldly proclaim and stand for the things that are wise according to this book, the observation will be the same. That person has spent some time with Jesus. You know, whenever I hear somebody offer prayer, a lot of times the observation that comes across my mind is, in order for a man to pray like that, that man spent some time with Jesus. In order for a man, whenever I hear an old farmer or somebody that I know that according to the ways of this world is not somebody that's an educated person, get up and preach the gospel and proclaim the glorious truth of Jesus Christ and His sovereign grace, I marvel in and of myself, because I must say the same thing that these men say, that man has had to spend some time with Jesus, because in and of his own mind, according to natural things, that's not something that you and I should be impressed with. But whenever you and I see that a man is able to proclaim with boldness the truths according to the wise ways of this word, we can say the same thing, and that is that they have spent some time with Jesus. What are the things that Proverbs chapter 8 tells us that are required in order for us to be wise, in order for us to walk with the Lord, in order for us to be wise in and of ourselves and spend time with Jesus? The first one, and it's in the sixth verse that I've already read to you, he says, hear. Hear. You know, that sounds simple enough, doesn't it? Hear. You know, there may be, I know that there's probably nobody that's been real, within a real close proximity to me that didn't hear my voice. I know, I'm thankful we've got the microphone. I'm thankful that if the sisters need to go back to the room where they can tend to the child, that we've got a microphone so that they can hear in there. But I'd even make an argument that they can probably, if you open up those doors, they can probably hear me anyway, you know, because of an audible sound is not something that I am lacking in, is probably the best way to term that. But you know, that's not just what, whenever the scripture tells us to hear, he's not just telling us to recognize an audible voice. That's not just what the Lord is telling us. Whenever he says what is required in order for us to be wise, in order for us to have wisdom, in order for us to walk with him, he says hear. You know, there's a way that we can hear the audible voice of somebody and not hear what they're saying. In other words, not listen to the things that they're saying. The prophet Isaiah said, and it's quoted again over in the 13th chapter of the book of Matthew, that the Lord Jesus Christ stood in their midst and he told them. He said, as it was said by the prophet Isaiah, hearing they shall hear and not understand, seeing they shall see and not perceive. Now how is that? Hearing they shall hear
but yet not understanding, seeing they shall see. We've got a lively crowd this morning. I want to tell you, you know, that means we got to, it's one of those days where you got to press into the kingdom. I tell you, with great blessings come obstacles. And I tell you, whenever you've got a rousy crowd, you've got to get up and get over them. And the same thing goes this morning. The scripture says that hearing they shall hear and not understand, seeing they shall see and not perceive. And he tells them a few verses down, blessed are your ears, for they hear, and your eyes, for they see. And in other words, you have been blessed to be able to perceive the words that are coming out of my mouth. And those Pharisees and Sadducees did not have that blessing. They were blinded because they refused to acknowledge that it was indeed the Son of God in their midst. And the same thing can go with us if we don't recognize that the same one who was in their midst is the same one who penned these words that we've read from today. Hear, he cries unto him, what is necessary in order for us to have wisdom is hear the words of the Lord. Hear what he has to say unto you. Hear, the wise man will hear, is what Proverbs chapter 1 says. And in other words, they'll be attentive to the things that are being taught unto them from this word. Hear them. Hear them. You know, a lot of times that doesn't mean necessarily that you want to hear what somebody has to say. Some of the best things, some of the best counsel that somebody can give you can be something maybe that you don't want to listen to and heed to. But I tell you, if you want to walk with the Lord, you'd better hear it. And you better listen to it. And the same thing goes with this word. You know, one of the things that you'll find when you read the book of Proverbs often enough, I tell you, whenever I read it, whenever I see it a lot of times, and I see what's in this word, I see a lot of my experiences. My mind goes back into things in times past where I didn't do what's contained in it. And you know, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed. You know, whenever I am able to see that I didn't heed to the wise words of this book, and I see that whenever the counsel was given there, because I was not attentive to the ways of God, it's an embarrassment to me. It stings a little bit. But you know, whenever you're stung by the ways of God, what you ought to do is fall on your knees and thank the Lord Jesus Christ that He thought enough of you to show you the truth and raise you up and correct you in the error in which you were in. I tell you, here is what the Scripture says. If you want to be wise, hear, because I'm calling unto you. And it's not just wisdom in and of itself. It's the Lord calling unto you to show you a better way. Hear. Hear. You know, the book of Revelation, the Apostle John wrote by the inspiration of God and said, blessed are they which read. Blessed is he which readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. They that hear the words of that prophecy, for the time is at hand, is what the Apostle John said in regards to that. The same thing goes with the Word of God. Hear it. Let it speak to you. Don't go to the Word of God with an interpretation already in your mind and saying, I know everything in it. Let the Lord show you what's in there. And I tell you, it'll be a great benefit to you. You'll be a wiser person. You'll get to walk with the Lord that much more. Hear. You know, hear it. You know, the next thing that he tells us is in a few verses down in verse 10. He says, to receive my instruction. In other words, don't just hear it. Don't just understand it. But receive it. But receive it. You know, one of the biggest challenges... that I don't know if every minister would agree with me on this or not, but one of a great weight upon a man that stands before the Lord's people and loves them and wants to see them do well, you know, that's a great weight upon somebody to care for the well-being of somebody else and to have a great desire in their heart to see them do better. And it's not necessarily that everything that they're doing is wrong, but you want to see every single one of us want to see one another do better in the things of God. You know, and there's a lot of control, if you will, that a man can have upon the things that he says before the people of God. And it's not that it is all of himself. Any man that stands before the Lord's people and thinks that all it takes is study and learning, all it takes is Bible reading, all it takes is that, is making a grave mistake, and the Lord will be quick to show him the next time he stands up there. Because in addition to me not knowing what every minister of the gospel would say concerning it, I think I can safely say that all of us, as being human, have been in the experience of standing before the Lord's people and the Lord not being here with you. You want to talk about a lonely place to be. There's not a lonelier place on this world. And you know, the last time it happened to me, there was nothing I could do about it. I couldn't get to a place to sit down, and I couldn't preach, but I couldn't stop. And you say, why, Brother Will, do you think that? I don't know. I think the Lord does it to make sure that we know that we are completely dependent upon Him to enter this pulpit with us. Whenever the Scripture says, pray for us, pray that the Lord would bless the man that stands before Him. It's not all loving, but it is based upon His effort. A man that won't spend time in this Word is not going to be much profit to the people of God. He won't be. It's not that God can't make a donkey preach. He can. The Scripture plainly shows that He can. But I want to tell you, if a man's just going to be void of any study and not spend any time in the Word of God and think that it's all of God and that he's just going to pour it right through, he's making a grave mistake. It's something that a man must study and learn. He must learn the things of God and depend upon God to bless him as he stands before him. But you know, something that I don't have any control over is what you do with what I try to show you while you're here. Whenever you leave here, if you don't receive any of the things that are said unto you, if you never take them to heart and say that I'm not going to only be, as James said, I'm not going to only be a hearer of the Word, but I'm going to be a doer of the Word as well, then you're not receiving the Word. You're not receiving the instruction. The only thing that you're doing is hearing it, and you may understand it, but you're not putting it to any use. And the Scripture plainly tells us in the course of this chapter, and I know it wouldn't, I don't have time to do it. You know, I don't have time to, you know, the other day, I probably read close to as long as I've ever read before I've tried to preach to you from Acts chapter 16. And I didn't want you to think that I was fixing to get in the habit of doing that. I couldn't read the whole 8th chapter to you today, but I hope you'll go home and you'll read it and that you'll see that this whole chapter is themed towards wisdom. And this whole chapter is themed towards not only what does it take to be wise, but what does it take to walk with the Lord. And those two things are tied together. And the Scripture plainly shows us that you must hear and you must receive the instruction. You must put it to use. You know, the examples that I give, I probably give more athletic examples than most people or than anything else. And I'm sorry if that is not able to make any sort of application to any of you. I apologize. That's just, you know, in my life and in the lives of my children, that's just something that seems to become more and more obvious to it, how to make those applications to it. But I guarantee you, if you'll take the things that are shown unto you, and if you'll hear them, and if you'll receive them, and you'll pray to God and say, Lord, show me how I can make use of these things that have been shown unto me, God is able. He is able to make the connection that maybe your pastor is not able to make. A pastor is just a man. He's just a man. And there may not be a connection that I'm able to make each and every time. But I guarantee you, I believe with every ounce of my being that if the Lord is in the matter, if the Lord is in the matter, that there's a way, that there is a way to make a message applicable to every single child of God that's on the pew that day. I believe it with every ounce of my being. He says, not only do we have to hear, but we have to receive. We have to receive the instruction. The next thing that we need to be prepared to do is that we need to be prepared to appreciate some spiritual things. Appreciate some spiritual things. And not always carnal things. If we want to be wise, if we want to walk with the Lord, we not only need to hear and receive the instruction, we need to appreciate spiritual things and not always carnal things. You know, I know that there are some people that would, if they listed out their their interest, you know, they may have an appreciation of art, of fine art, however you characterize that, and you know, I can't say that I'm not observant of it and can't tell whenever somebody's got a talent. I don't know how many of you are Hawks fan. Here I go making an example again, but you know, at the halftime show on Friday night where they honored a former player of the Atlanta Hawks, they had an artist come out there, and in 5 minutes, this guy took a blackboard and painted a portrait of that man in 5 minutes. And I thought to myself, you know, I used to just think whenever I saw those people do it, whenever I'd heard that they'd done it, that is that even I, who don't have an artistic inclination at all, And it won't take you long to see some kind of chicken scratch I can scratch together to tell that I don't have that. Even I used to think that if you've drawn something one time, you can draw it again. What's the big deal about timing somebody to do some type of artistic? But I watched him. You know, I didn't listen to the speech much. I watched what he was doing over there. And what a talent that this man had. A lot of people have appreciation for things like that. And Lord bless you if you do. But it's an appreciation for a natural thing. It's not appreciation for anything spiritual. But this chapter here tells us that we need to appreciate some spiritual things and not just natural or carnal things. He says at the end of verse 10 and in verse 11 that we are to receive instruction and not silver. Knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than rubies. See, he lists some spiritual things that he tells us are necessary if we're going to be wise. You better appreciate some spiritual things. Wisdom and knowledge above silver, gold, and rubies. In other words, above jewelry, above natural things. The Lord is telling us here that if you're going to walk with me, then there better be a love in your heart for things that are spiritual and not just all things that are natural. The Scripture teaches us and shows us over in 1 Timothy chapter 6 that the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money. That is somebody that loves it and that craves it and just has appreciation for all things finer, all the finer gold, all the finer silver, all the finer rubies. And that is that all they have an appreciation for is carnal and natural things. It says later on in that verse in 1 Timothy chapter 6 in the 10th verse, which some have coveted after. In other words, they loved it. It wasn't that they had it. I know I've said this a million times, but I want to drive it home, is that I've met just as many people that don't have it that love it than I have that people that have it that love it. Does that make sense? You cannot have money and love money and covet it after it, and it'll become a distraction to your service to the Lord. You know, I've been blessed to be able to know some people that do have money, that are blessed with financial gain in this world, and they're disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ because they love the fellowship with the Lord more than they love those possessions. That's what's necessary. You know, may the Lord bless us all to be hard workers and to be industrious people out in this world. There's not a thing wrong with it. If your pastor ever stands before you and tells you to be lazy, be sorry, don't worry about your job, go home, the Lord will provide for you. He'll give you some food. Don't go work. Don't worry about going to work tomorrow. Don't worry about it. Just kind of sit around and let somebody else, let the Lord take care of you. That's not what this book teaches about our work and labors in this world. And the same thing goes whenever we're talking about the challenges that we have in this life. We're told to be laborers and workers in this world. As a matter of fact, he's given us strict instructions that he that won't work shouldn't eat. That's some pretty plain language, is it not, that the Apostle Paul gave the church at Thessalonica because they thought that the Lord's return was immediate and coming immediately. They thought it was just okay to sit on the chair of do nothing, but he warned them about that. That's not what I'm telling you today, is to not work and to have things in this world. That's not what I'm telling you, but I'm warning you to not love those things, but instead to love things that are associated with the kingdom of God. And that's wisdom, and that's instruction, and those are the things that God has blessed us to be able to have here. Think about the wisdom and instruction and knowledge that the Lord blesses us to be able to have in the truth of what He has done for us on the cross at Calvary. I'll tell you, that'll do you a whole lot more good in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ to learn more about the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ than digging in and tearing in about whether or not something's a pure or artificial piece of gold. I can tell you that. You know, what the gold does when you put it in your teeth and you bite it to be able to tell the difference between what is a pure piece and what is not, I have no idea. But I know that I've seen enough Westerns to know that whenever they carried it to the sale, that's what they did, is they put it in their mouth and they bit it. What is the difference? I have no idea. And I'm here to tell you that you can know it or not know it. It won't matter a thing in the kingdom of God. But if you'll learn and grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, it'll do you a lot of good in your walk with Him. Not only with wisdom, it'll do you good in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, to appreciate spiritual things instead of just natural things. He says you need to hear me. You need to receive my instruction. And that means to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. And then you need to be appreciative of spiritual things instead of just natural things in this world. The next thing that he tells us is necessary is that we've got to hate some things. We've got to hate some things. You know, to
that this won't get me on the nighttime television show, I know, and saying in a sermon that in order to be able to have a walk with the Lord, that you've got to hate some things. But I want to tell you, the Scripture plainly teaches us that if we're gonna do things the Lord's way and gonna walk with Him, we're gonna need to hate some things. We're gonna need to hate some things. He says in verse 13 that the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. To hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. You know, the Scripture teaches us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, it is where it starts. And if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the fear of the Lord is to hate wickedness, to hate evil. You know, there's some things that we ought to have disdain for. And there is nothing wrong with having disdain for evil and wicked things in this world. There's not a thing wrong with it. You ought to have disdain. It ought to disgust you. Nastiness, wickedness, evilness, it ought to disgust you. It shows that you're walking with the Lord and you know what's pure and you know what's holy. And whenever you see something that's not, you're disgusted by it. You don't want to be around it. And what does he define as being evil? He said pride. Pride. Now, believe me, I know what most people mean when they say that they're proud of somebody. I know what it means. I understand what it means. And I understand that it's an innocent slip of the tongue. And you know, the Scripture also warns us about making a man an offender for a word. Making a man an offender for a word. And that is taking just as saying that word is making somebody an offender of something. But make no mistake about it. There are things that God hates. And pride, a proud heart is one of them. Pride and proud are something that we need to replace in our vocabulary. There are things that we need to continue on in speech that are more clearly identified with Scripture than with the ways of this world. And the way that you can find a good word to replace for that is to say, well pleased. This is my beloved son, God said, in whom I am well pleased. You know, if your child does something, if somebody does something that you find pleasure in, that you're thankful for, tell them that you're well pleased with their effort. Tell them that you're thankful for the things that they have done. Be careful with the use of pride. Because the Scripture says that there's some things that the fear of the Lord is going to bring upon us, and that is to hate evil. It says pride and arrogancy. Arrogancy. You know, there's a conduct of ourselves that can bring up and portray an arrogance and an air about us that is not very hospitable. You know, arrogancy and hospitality are two things that will not mix, because arrogancy gives everybody around us the impression that we're too good for them. And if we're too good for them, then how can it be hospitable environment for them to feel like that it's okay for them to be around us? The Lord says that these are some things that we should hate. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate, is what the Lord says. It says, if you turn back into the previous chapter, that there are six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. In Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. He says, a proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. If the Lord hates those things, you and I should find disdain in them too, and should not mold ourselves to the point where we become comfortable around these things. If we're going to be wise, if we're going to have wisdom, let us do it according to the ways of God, and let us acknowledge things that He says He hates. You know, the psalmist David said in the 139th Psalm, do not I hate them that hate thee? Am I not grieved by them that rise up against thee? He says, I hate them with a perfect hatred. He said, I hate them with a perfect hatred. You know, Jesus Christ is the only one that can hate with a perfect hatred, because He's the only one that can do anything to a fullness and to a imperfection. But nevertheless, He teaches us there that the things that God finds abominable and evil, you and I should also have disdain for. If we're going to be wise, these things are things that we need to observe. If we're going to walk with the Lord, these are some things that are required. You know, one of the mistakes that somebody could make is entangle these
these messages and tell you that there's some things that you've got to do in order to find wisdom, and there's some work that you've got to do that's laid out in front of you in order for you to be a child of God, in order for you to get to go to heaven to be with the Lord. That's not what the point of this is. The only thing that was required in order for you to go to heaven was done on the cross at Calvary, and that is the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing else is required in the eyes of God. But if you want to walk with Him here in this world, there are some requirements. You know, and I don't want to give you the false impression to tell you that you can just sit on the chair of do nothing and not be able and be able to do it here in this world. That would be a lie. Because I'm not telling you that God can't. God can do anything that He sets His mind to. But He's not in the habit of it according to this word. There's a reason why that He's shown us these things. And the reason why He's shown us these things is because He expects us to observe them. He expects us to hear them. He expects us to receive them. He expects us to appreciate the spiritual things. He expects us to have disdain and hatred in our fear of God. You know, one of the things, and we were talking about it here in the backyard last weekend, and we're talking about how some of the talk radio hosts of the world today, and I listen to some of them while I'm out and about in my work truck going from here to there. Sometimes I'll turn it on. And most of them, I align with a lot of their thoughts. But one of the things that I have to turn it off whenever they begin to try to numb down things that are going on in our country, such as the shedding of innocent blood. And to tell you that the battle that we're fighting, we've got to lay that to the side. We've just got to concede and say that there's no way that we're going to be able to override and be able to defeat that abortion is wrong. You know, I have to, you know, and to hear them harp and to go on about how there's more important things than that. That there's economic battles and freedom battles that are more important than that. And, you know, I have, you know, to hear somebody say that and to know what God has said, and that is that six things doth the Lord hate, seven are an abomination unto Him, and one of the things that He hates is the shedding of innocent blood. And I tell you, child of grace today, if nobody can appreciate how innocent the blood of an unborn is, they won't appreciate the freedom of anybody that's alive. I'll tell you that. And if you say that's too political, Brother Will, lay it to my charge. It's in the Word of God, and I'll defend it, I pray, until the day I die. It's what's contained in the Word of God. And whenever you see these things, and whenever you hear them, it stirs me up. I become angry at it. And no, I'm not foolish enough to pick up the phone and call in. I'm not. But I want to tell you, when I hear it, I have disdain for it. The fact that somebody's not hurt and injured by that act of malice and hatred. I want to tell you, child of grace, today, you better be wary of it. These things that are said unto us are given to us for our understanding. You know, the things that we've gone through so far are here, and to receive the instruction, to appreciate spiritual things and to hate the things, hate the evilness and wickedness. You know, that's what, you know, a lot of people will make or ask the question, you know, do you think we're close to the Lord's return? And I, you know, there's one thing about it. We're closer than we were yesterday. We're closer than we were 2 days ago. But other than that, for the life of me, I can't say that it's right around the corner, because I think things are going to get a whole lot worse before He comes back. I think before He comes back, the people will have a true disdain and hatred for wicked things. Right now, they're kind of numb to them, and it just kind of just passes by them, and it's just kind of the way life is. But I want to tell you, whenever they see the effect of that on their lives, and see what it means to live in a God-forsaken place. Right now, I don't believe we can lay that claim. I believe the Lord still blesses us with a lot of peace and tranquility. We don't know what it's like to live in a God-forsaken place, but should we do it, we'd have a whole lot more hatred for those things that we are able to recognize and realize brought us to that point. You know, the last thing that I want to look at that clearly shows us what it means, or ways to have wisdom, and ways that we are walking with the Lord, and therefore walking with the Lord, is if you go down, starting with verse 23 in this chapter of Proverbs chapter 8. In order to be wise according to the ways of God, in order to walk with the Lord,
you not only have to hear, receive instruction, appreciate spiritual things, and hate evil things, you have to recognize God as the Creator God, and that His Son is the eternal Son of God. What does He tell us here about Himself? Himself being Jesus and Himself being wisdom. He said, I was set up from everlasting, from the beginning or ever the earth was. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains abounding with water. You cannot come, you cannot mix and come to a middle ground. With anybody. Let me go ahead and read the next verse before I try to explain that. Because it wasn't flowing, I knew that there's something else I need to do. I need to read the next verse. He said, while as yet He had not made the earth, nor the fields, nor the highest part of the dust of the world. What do those verses that we've just read clearly show? Is that Jesus existed since before the foundation and creation of this world. And what does it show? Who does it show us created this world? He. God. God created this world. You can mince all the middle ground that you want to and try to come to terms. But I want to tell you, if you want to walk with the Lord, you're going to have to say He existed before the foundation of the world. He was with God whenever this world was created. He is not a created being. He has always been around. And that God created this world. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, is what Hebrews chapter 11 says. In other words, through faith we understand that God spoke this world into existence. Through faith we trust that the Lord Jesus Christ was there. And no, they will not, I will say today, they will never ever set up a scientific experiment that will clearly show that this world was created by the Word of God, because God is not going to be diminished to just a small science experiment. He said it is through faith and trust that you and I believe that. And that's the way it's going to work. You know, the term itself of creation science is a term that won't stand. It won't stand. Because creation is not a science. A science is a step process where there must be a hypothesis made, there must be an experiment to test the hypothesis, and there must be a conclusion about the tested hypothesis. You won't be able to find it about creation, because God is not going to create this world again. He's already created it one time, and it exists today, and that's the way it is. You know, a lot of people that deem themselves to be wise according to the ways of this world will never come to that conclusion. They will never get there, because they will not turn loose of the wisdom that they have obtained from this world and be able to fully grasp and accept the ways of God. And in doing so, there'll be a void in their walk with the Lord. I don't know about you, but there's people that I love, that I believe love me. People that I can spend time with, but that believe with every ounce of their being, and I know they do, that any effort that I make standing before the people of God, because they don't believe what I preach and the doctrines of grace that the Primitive Baptists hold dear, they don't believe that I'm called of God. They don't. You know, and they don't need to in order for me to be able to know that they think that every effort that me and my family make in service to God is nothing, because they don't believe in what I stand for. I love them. I can spend time with them. They eat supper at my table. I'll eat at their table. But you know what? There's a void in that relationship, because they don't have the confidence that the people that I worship with on Sunday have in the Lord. They don't have it. They don't have that trust there. There's a void there. And you say, Brother Will, why do you go through that example? Because the same thing exists with the little Lamb of God that will not completely free themselves of anything that they have, any obstruction in their mind, that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God, and that He did exist before the foundation of the world, and that God Almighty created this world. You know, you can find out a lot about somebody's religion whenever you ask them about what was done before the foundation of the world. You know, here, these verses tell us that
that I existed, wisdom existed. How did it exist? It existed in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. There were some things, according to Ephesians chapter 1, that were done before the foundation of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ and God Almighty chose us in the Lord Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. According as He had chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. There's some things that if all we do is neglect to look at what took place before the foundation of the world, we're going to miss. Jesus Christ was there. God made a choice before the foundation of the world. Look at these things that took place that God says that if you want to be wise, you want to have wisdom, you'll acknowledge these things. You'll observe these things. And in doing so, we'll be just as those men observed Peter and John in Acts chapter 4, that they had been with Jesus. You do these things that are listed here today. You hear the things that are said. You receive them and put them to use. You appreciate spiritual things. Appreciate wisdom and understanding and knowledge above the things of this world. That means don't let the desire that yearns within you for more possessions in this world drive you away from the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and fellowship with His saints. Don't do it. Appreciate the spiritual things. Hate and have disdain for things. You say, Brother Will, you're teaching us to hate. I mean, you're teaching us to be angry. No, I'm not. Be happy and satisfied with spiritual things. Hate. Have disdain for the wicked things. And I want to tell you, the more disdain you have for the nastiness in this world, the more peace and fellowship you'll have for the pure things in this world. You will. And He says not only to do those things, but to recognize the Lord for who He is. Recognize Him for who He is. He's the eternal Son of God. You know, as the preacher said one time, and it's been the best example that I've ever heard given on the eternal sonship of Jesus, is that His daddy became a father the same day that He had a son. And if God the Father's always been God the Father, then that means that He always had to have a son. And the same thing goes, and the saying goes on and on, that because I became a daddy the same day I had a son, the same thing goes with God Almighty. He's always had a son and He's always been God the Father. Let us recognize these things as being spiritual truths, of being wise words of things that Solomon, by the inspiration of God, has left for us so that we can walk with the Lord. You know, there's a lot more that can be said on this subject. There ain't no way to preach it out in a Sunday morning. But I pray that the Lord will bless you to meditate upon these things and to go back and read this chapter and to see how, in the midst of this, the Scripture even mentions in one of the verses that He leads us in His paths of righteousness. And what does that teach us is that in these things, there's a walk with Him in the paths of righteousness that He leads us in. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
What shall I render to you?